'Twas the night before Halloween, and all through the park, little ghosts and goblins were scaring all in the dark. Main Street was transformed into Halloween Town, while Tomorrowland, Frontierland, and Fantasyland saw goblins abound. New Orleans Square was the heart of it all, with ghouls and spooks both short and tall. Pumpkins and trees and rides alike, all taken over by villains' delight. A creepy ghost galaxy surprises the unwary, while doom buggies take passengers and a ride quite as scary. From the Tower of Terror a shriek can be heard, and silence like that without another word. While back at the Haunted Mansion ghosts gather, one and all, where scary Jack Skellington hosts a most frightening ball. As Tales from the Mouse House records their Halloween show, the Disneyland Resort is overrun by an eerie Halloween glow. So sit back, relax, and try not to shiver, for Tales from the Mouse House is quite sure to deliver. Happy Halloween.
Welcome to episode 10 of Tales from the Mouse House for the week of Halloween 2010.
Too bad it's not our 13th episode, Haunting 13.
Well, 10 is good. 10 is really good for us.
Yes.
The poem that you just heard was read by our friend Simon Meddings from London. Yes, we have friends in high places. And he did a wonderful job on that poem for us. Joyce actually came up with the idea, and we wrote it up and sent it over. And Meds graciously accepted the challenge of reading this and starting this whole Halloween trend. So who knows, maybe 10 years from now when we're playing this. all right, so maybe a couple years from now we'll be playing this, and Meds will be super famous because he's an actor and he's a writer and he does all kinds of things over in the, you know, across the pond.
Yes, and hopefully one day he will come to Arizona and visit us and we can take him to the happiest place on earth.
Right, so he can understand what it is he just read about.
And try corn dog.
Right. Yeah, corn dogs. Corn dogs, love the corn dogs. Well, speaking of episode 10, I recently went back and listened to the first couple of our episodes, and I'm going to tell you, I'm surprised we...
have any listeners?
Yeah, I'm surprised that we're still doing this. I mean, it was really... well, it was pretty bad.
I think we read, and we didn't, like, well, talk to one another, and...
well, we read... yeah, we read what we wanted to say, and it was just... it wasn't very good. I mean, it got us through. I kind of compare it to the very first Star Trek movie, Star Trek the Motion Picture. It was a horrible, horrible movie, but it had to be done. It laid the groundwork for everything else, just like our first couple of episodes. It laid the groundwork for the wonderful podcast that you're listening to right now.
Yes.
So I need to explain something to you, our numbering system. Because I know that you're probably looking in your iTunes queue and you're going, now wait a minute, they've done more than 10 podcast episodes. And that's true. But I've got, now kind of a threefold numbering system. Our main audio show, which is Tales from the Mouse House, you know, the main audio show, is just a regular numbering system, 1 through, 10. So that's what I base this, 10th show on. And then we have the video podcasts, and I use a separate numbering system for that. Right now, I believe we're at, the one that we just released, it was episode 5. So I use V and then the number, you know, V is in video for 5. And then now we're doing the Minnie Mouse casts. So you're going to see in the numbering system M1, M2, etc. So if you subscribe to our newsletter that I send out to alert you to the new shows, you're going to see up in the episode numbering system, you'll see, you know, episode 11, episode 10, whatever, or episode V, or episode M. So, very long and very boring story, but there you go. That's it.
As Al mentioned earlier, Med's from, is he from London?
Yeah, he's in a suburb of London.
Yeah. So, he is someone that Al's acquainted with through another blog. I guess it's a blog.
Well, I met him through the Treks and Sci-Fi Forum, which you should be familiar with because we had Rico on our show a few episodes back. Rico is the host of Treks and Sci-Fi, and he has this this geek forum, and all of us sci-fi geeks. Yes, I'm a sci-fi geek as well as a Disney geek. We get together and we chat. Well, Meds hosts a podcast called Waffle On, and it's a great podcast. We highly recommend that you listen to it. It's a wonderful show about 1960s, I believe, through the 1990s television,
mainly from the BBC, right?
Right, from the BBC. And it's pretty cool. I mean, he covers a lot of things. But anyway.
So back to him. We email with him. And like Al said, you know, he chats with him on the Treks and Sci-Fi forum. But anyways, we both like to listen to him talk because we like his accent. And
okay, so now I have Jeffrey the Disney geek to worry about. Now I have Meds to worry about. Meds, forget it. You're not coming here. But anyway, what we're trying to get at is that recently we put out the word on, on all the social media sites and everything. We were soliciting your stories, your favorite Halloween stories, your spooky stories, if you have Disney stories, you know, whatever spookiness. And Meds sent in an audio clip that we'll play later on that, and please pardon my language, but it scared the crap out of me. I mean, it was, you know, I know Meds, and I'm thinking, okay, this is probably going to be kind of a funny story, but it wasn't. The story that you're going to hear from Meds is a true story. He swears by it. It epitomizes the Halloween scary story. I mean, this is spooky. So you're going to want to listen to that.
But don't let your kids listen.
No, don't let you. Well, no, you can let your kids listen. I mean, we don't want people to turn away. Speaking of turning people away, Joyce and I, we live in a small suburb north of Phoenix, Arizona. And, Halloween, not such a special time for us here. We don't get a whole lot of trick-or-treaters. I mean, we try, but, you know, we don't get any trick-or-treaters. A couple of years ago, we had maybe, three or four trick-or-treaters. So we figured, last year we figured, well, things would be a little bit different. So we bought
six bags of candy.
We bought 55 bags of candy or something like that.
Or six.
And we were expecting at least one. And I figured, man, this one kid's going to get lucky. But we did not have one trick-or-treater last year, did we?
No, we did not. So this year, we're not turning our lights on. We're not buying candy. And our vampire Mickey that's hanging in the window is going to be turned off.
The lights will go out. So we, as we've mentioned once or twice before, we have a small dog. Her name is Kate. She's our mascot for Tales from the Mouse House. She's a small dog. I mean, she's like 10 pounds. And, we treat her like our kid. And she's got how many Halloween costumes?
Only two.
Two? Are you sure only two? Well, she's got two
Halloween. Two official Halloween
costumes. And, of course, one is Minnie Mouse, and what's the other one?
Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid, yeah.
Yes, and last weekend we went to a pet rescue event, and they had a Halloween costume for the doggies, and of course she dressed up like Minnie Mouse with her little mini ears and everything. And
oh my gosh, I thought everybody was just going to scream, and well, actually they did. They just loved her.
Yes.
We'll put pictures up of Katie and her Minnie Mouse ears.
And then today, she goes to daycare and to doggy daycare. You don't have
to tell everybody. We take our dog to daycare.
She goes to doggy daycare to socialize. So today they had a Halloween party.
She comes out to socialize.
So today they had a Halloween party for the doggies. And she went as the Little Mermaid. But they requested that we send her mini costume back with her.
Yeah, we actually had a request for her costume. So what else is going on around here? Oh, We overseeded. Yeah, that was fun.
I think we talked about that before.
Well, no, we talked about putting the grass in the backyard. But a couple of weeks ago, matter of fact, it was, maybe we did mention it. It was on our last show. We have the 600 square feet of grass. I mean, it's not a huge grass patch. And when we got back from Disneyland the last time, I noticed that the grass had started dying. So, you know, we went to our local Home Depot. Plug here. We went to our local Home Depot and they told us, yeah, it's definitely time to overseed with the winter rye. And they talked us into this, the new Scotts 3-in-1 grass seed or whatever it is. All I know is that it was terribly expensive, but it has everything you need in it. And we bought 2 bags of that. And I think I spent like 2 hours getting the grass ready, spread the grass seed down in a beautiful, perfect pattern. And then the next day we wake up and I hear this weird noise. I look outside and it's raining. It's raining. And I'm like, what the heck? It doesn't rain here. It not only rained, but we had hail here the size of golf balls. I mean, the hailstones were huge. And we were watching all the grass seed just get washed away.
But then come to find out, it didn't really get washed away. We were just impatient, which...
Well, we are impatient people, but yes. What she's talking about is that we went out and bought another bag of this grass seed, and I put that down, and then all of a sudden, all the grass seeds started sprouting. So we've got like a
golf course.
Yeah, a golf course out in the backyard. It's pretty cool.
Very pretty.
Yeah. But, you know, with the overseeding, obviously, comes the cooler weather, and we are so excited about the cooler weather here. You know, under 100 degrees, and we're happy. And for us, cooler weather means fire pit season.
Yay!
Ooh, yay! We love fire pit season.
But as we're recording this show for Halloween, it's 90 degrees.
Yeah, 90 degrees outside today. Actually, it was like 93 today.
Yes.
It was, yeah. But it's supposed to be cooler tomorrow and the next couple of days. But the nights are nice.
They are very nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm enjoying the nights. So, what else is going on? Well... video podcast that we were talking about earlier, video podcast number 5, The Happiest Haunts Tour. It is now available on iTunes, and well, you can actually watch it on our main website. It's not Podbean. Podbean is kind of our blog site, but on the Podbean site, on the left-hand side, there's a link to what did we call it? Tales from the Mouse House Mac site is what it's called now. And if you click on that, it'll show all of our podcast episodes and everything. And the video episodes are there as well. And the Happiest Haunts Tour video, you've got to watch it. It's fun. It's about 40 minutes long, and it's a very, very big file. So if you're going to download it in your iTunes, and hopefully you've already done that and you've watched it, it's going to take a while to download, but trust me, it's worth it. We had a great time. The Happiest Haunts Tour was... just absolutely fun. We had such a good time.
It was lots of fun. And as we mentioned before, we met Frank and Tim.
Frank and Tim, great guys.
And we're hoping that they're going to be back in Disneyland on December 10th when we're there. They actually have their vacation booked the week before, but last we heard they might change it. So it'd be great.
Yeah, so if Frank you guys are Tim, listening. Well, what do you mean if they're listening? Frank and Tim, of course you're listening.
Yeah.
Change
so
I
hope
it.
We get Come to see you.
We
want to
hang out with you guys. It was fun. I mean, we only got to hang out with them for, you know, through the tour and then for just
maybe
a short time afterwards.
After
we actually interviewed them on video, so I'll be putting that up eventually. Maybe even just pulling the audio out and doing a little you know, soundbite from them. But yeah, change your vacation plans. Tim, Frank, come on. You guys, you know you want to hang out with us. We're famous. I mean, really, we're famous.
Yeah, and speaking of great Disney people, I do have to admit I'm getting just a tiny, tiny bit hooked on Twitter because I feel like it's my Disney fix now because I miss Disney so much. So I get to go to Disneyland through all these people that are on Twitter.
Right. We have a lot of followers who go to Disneyland all the time. A lot of these folks have their own Disney blogs and Disney websites, and we follow a lot of these people as well.
Yeah, so if you're on Twitter and you're not already following, follow Days in the Park, Finding Mickey,
Finding Mickey, yeah. Babes in Disneyland.
Babes in Disneyland.
There's a lot. Who else Mr. Do we Gaps.
Like? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have some Arizona Disney friends, too, that we tweet with.
Seekner, I think is how you pronounce it. If I'm wrong, please send me an email. Because, you know, we're all about the feedback.
Yeah, and she gave me Twitter 101 lesson yesterday because I didn't know what a lot of stuff was.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We're new to the social networking site. But speaking of our next visit, December 10th, yes, we're going back to Disneyland on December 10th. It's just going to be for a weekend thing, but we're going there mainly for the Christmas decorations.
My favorite time of year.
Yeah. It's a tie, I think, maybe by one point, you know. I think the Halloween season is probably my favorite time. And, I mean, that's obvious because that was my first visit to Disneyland was during the Halloween season. But Christmas is a very, very close second. But we're going to, you know, we plan on doing a lot of video and a lot of pictures. So we'll have a lot of stuff for the shows coming up after that.
Hey, you know what I was just thinking?
No, I never know what you're thinking.
Candy Corn Acres wasn't at DCA this year.
Well, no, because they're doing a lot of changes at California Adventure. You know, with the whole Tron, the Electronica thing. And
yeah, but they should always have Candy Corn Acres.
Well, no, because now the pins that we have are collector's items.
Very true.
Yeah.
But I like Candy Corn Acres. Yeah. Okay.
Also, this is all we're going to say about this, but in our December trip, we're going to have a very special food review for you.
But it's secret.
Yeah, it's super secret for now. So we won't reveal it until after we've gone and reviewed it. But yeah, you're going to want to make sure that the last episode in December, you're going to want to tune in because this is going to be a rockin' review. Now, because this is a very, very special episode, I mean, it's our Halloween spectacular episode, and it's
spooktacular.
Spooktacular. Okay, Halloween spooktacular. It's also our 10th, well, what should we call it? How about our 10th podcast-iversary show? We're going to have three special trivia contests for you. Now, you're going to need to listen to the show from start to finish because we're going to
just throw them in there.
Yeah, we're going to throw the contests in here and there. So make sure that you listen to the whole thing.
So the first one is for our casual Disney fans. And the question will be pretty easy.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty easy. The second trivia question is going to be for the more serious Disney fans. You know, the ones who've been to the Disneyland Resort within the past few years. Now, this question, of course, is going to be a bit harder.
The final trivia question is one for our hardcore Disneyland Resort fans. This question is going to be very difficult to answer. And unless you've been to the park recently, well, then stick to the first question.
So now at this point, I bet you're wondering, what the heck are the prizes? I'm glad you asked. Well, as usual, we've got some trading pins that we're going to award. We've got a Minnie Mouse key topper, Bath & Body Works bat scent bug, complete with a bottle of my favorite scent. Now, if you've listened to our show in the past, you know that I'm kind of a freak for these scented oils. I love to burn I love to burn the oils. I love the scents.
Candles and...
Yeah, I love candles and I love all that stuff. So I'm going to include a bottle of my very, very favorite scent oil, and that's Tree.
I don't think they sell that anymore either, do they?
I think they do. It's a special occasion, but you're going to want this. I mean, the Tree scent is absolutely fantastic. It smells like a real pine tree. I mean, it smells like the Disneyland Christmas tree. It's great. You're also going to win some high-quality photos. That you can have, you can either have them printed in poster size or get a high quality digital that you can use as a wallpaper. And we'll post the photos that we're going to make available on our website so you can pick from them. A Mickey and Friends Trick or Treat reusable bag. It's great for shopping too. And we're even going to give away a guest spot on Tales from the Mouse House.
Wow, I wonder if we have any famous people listening.
Well, okay, maybe that's not going to be. But actually, I mean, if you're one of our winners, even if whatever, if you're one of our winners, feel free to call us. We'll let you on the show. Okay, here are the rules. You can only enter one of the three contests. You can't enter all three. So sorry about that. So you need to choose which question you answer very, very wisely. And the prizes will be awarded like this. The easy question, you're going to get a trading pin. The intermediate question, you're going to get a trading pin, a high quality digital Disneyland Resort photo, and the mini key topper. Now for the hardcore question, you hit the jackpot. If you get this right, you're going to win a trading pin, a high quality digital Disneyland Resort photo, and a print. And you can choose two different pictures if you want. You don't have to choose the both of the same one. The scent bug with oil, Mickey and Friends trick-or-treat bag, plus a very, very special bonus prize for the hardcore winner. A Stargazer CD by our good friend Rick Moyer. Now, this is a really cool CD. Rick Moyer is the host of the Take Him With You podcast, and he's also a very, very talented musician. I'll play a sample of this CD a little bit later on, but Rick has generously donated a copy of Stargazer so that we can use it as a prize. Stargazer is a wonderful CD. I own a copy of it. It's just great, kind of like ambient background music. And the purpose behind Stargazer was to have some really cool music to listen to as you're, you know, laying in your backyard on a starry night looking at stars. Plus, all of the winners is going to receive a Tales from the Mouse House personalized button. Well, sort of personalized. If you win the when you answer the question, make sure that you put in the subject line what your favorite land or attraction is at the Disneyland Resort, and we'll make a button especially for you if you're the winner.
Send your answers to talespodcast@cox.net. In the subject line, enter which contest you're answering, easy, intermediate, or hardcore contest. And in the body, enter your best guess answer. Oh, and again, don't forget to tell us what your favorite land or attraction is for your button. If you're answering the intermediate question, enter your photo that you want. And if you're answering the hardcore question, also enter the photos you want. And if you'd like two different ones, remember, that is an option for you.
And choose print or digital behind each one.
And the entry deadline is November 14th, 2010, by midnight, Arizona time.
The bewitching hour. Whoa. And we'll go over the rules and how to enter again later on. Okay, here's the easy question. What was the opening date of Disneyland? Give us the month, the day, the year, the hour, and the minutes. Okay, I'm kidding about the last part. But we need the month, the day, and the year.
Haunted stories on Tales from the Mouse House.
So you know the thing about the real dead people in Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
No.
Well, when the ride first opened, the Imagineers had a very hard time recreating skeletons. So they had lots of real skeletons donated and used as placeholders for the initial opening of the ride. After a few years, they were replaced, but rumor has it that the skull hanging above the captain in the bed is still real because it's too hard to remove. Ooh, that's creepy.
Oh my gosh, that's creepy.
Very creepy.
Now, over the years, there have been a lot of videos on YouTube about Disneyland. In fact, we've got a few up there ourselves. Well, there are more than just a few videos that show, well, ghosts. In fact, one is of the security cameras from the Haunted Mansion. This video shows what appears to be a ghostly figure walking from the front entry of the Haunted Mansion down the path and over to the Rivers of America.
Over the river?
Yeah, and through the woods. And for those Tower of Terror fans out there, there's another video of what appears to be a ghostly figure sitting on the outside ledge near the ride opening on the 13th floor.
It's Gracie.
Could be. As we mentioned earlier, we put the feelers out for, you know, your favorite stories, your favorite Halloween stories. But we got this email from a listener. And all I can tell you is that it's a she. She asked us, you know, to be kind of, well, discreet. So I'm going to read it word for word. Dear Tales from the Mouse House, hi guys, please don't share my name on your show because this story is a little hard to believe, but trust me, it really happened. About 5 years ago, I was having a really difficult time. My favorite aunt had just passed away and I was really, really unhappy with my job and hadn't done a lot of the things that I wanted to do in life, and I was just feeling really lost. I was pretty depressed and all alone, so I decided to take a trip to Disneyland. I hadn't been there in quite a few years, so I figured, what the heck? When I got there, though, my depression actually got a little worse. I saw all those families having so much fun, and I just really felt bad. Well, one night, probably around midnight because the park closed late that night, there were very few people left in the park, and for some strange reason, it was kind of dark in the area. I was pretty mopey and just walking along kind of slowly over by the Rivers of America and on my way out of the park. As I neared the petrified tree, I noticed a man standing right next to it, sort of kind of leaning up against it. I noticed that he was wearing a suit too, and I thought that this was kind of odd. As I got closer, he looked up at me and said, "Cheer up. Don't be down. You're in Disneyland. Everything will be just fine." As I looked up at the man, I was pretty shocked. It was Walt Disney. Plain as day, big smile on his face and everything. I closed my eyes and quickly looked around, but when I looked back, he was gone. Later, when I got home, I researched the petrified tree and came to find out how special it was to Walt. To this day, I get chills thinking about that. Walt Disney. And like I said, she didn't want us to reveal her name, but I'm telling you, I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Okay. Well, it's time for another trivia question. This is the intermediate question. The address to the Disneyland Resort is 1313 South Harbor Boulevard. The number 1313 has a neat meaning, and if you've listened to our show in the past, you'll know this one. What is the meaning? Remember, send your answers to talespodcast@cox.net and put intermediate in the subject line.
And then in the body, enter your answer and your contact information.
Hi, Alan Joyce. This is Meds from Waffle On Podcast, and this is my short tale, spooky tale, for your Halloween show. I was about 16 years old, living at my parents', and they live and have always lived opposite a cemetery. Well, they've always lived there since they got married in 69. And that used to be my playground. I used to play football over there. I learned to ride my bike over there. And it was nothing spooky for me because it was something I'd always been brought up with. One night, me and my mate Kev went over there. It was all shut up. All the gates were locked. But there was, you know, small holes in the fence you could climb through. And, you know, being kids, we'd always run through and run away from each other and lark around. There was two sections of the cemetery. The left-hand side was the old part, dating back to around about the 16th century, and the right-hand side was the more modern version. But the old area was always cold. Even on hot sunny days, it was always cold. And they had little crypts there. And we used to do, you know, things. We'd leave parcels, little... I remember it was a cassette deck. A cassette case. And we'd put little things in it and see if they'd still be there by the time we got back. Obviously they weren't, that was cleaned away. But we used to think spooky things were going on. Anyway, this one night, we got to this crypt where we always used to play. And they say it's around about 8 o'clock at night, the whole cemetery is closed. And we hear voices, and we go towards where the sound's coming from. And on the little roundabout... these small little roundabouts where cars go around, was four people, a family, sitting there having a picnic. Now, there's graves on these little roundabouts, and they had a rug. There was a man, a woman, and two kids, and they were eating bananas. Now, this sounds weird, and it does sound like a strange dream, but I am, hand on heart, this actually happened. So, we hid behind a tree, and crept forward to watch what was going on, because this was weird. You know, it's fair enough playing over the cemetery and running around, but you don't have a picnic. You wouldn't have a picnic there when it was open, let alone having a picnic when it's closed. Anyway, we crept forward, and I can't remember who it was. One of us broke a twig or a branch, and they all stopped, and all of them looked at us at the same time, and the man pointed at us. It was a little bit like, in my head now, I always think of Donald Sutherland in his Invasion of the Body Snatchers, when he does the last scene with him in, where his mouth opens and he points. And of course, we absolutely, crapped ourselves and ran, turned and ran. And we was running away, and we was going a straight line, and I kept turning around watching that, and then he was still standing there, and I turned back. And this is where it gets spooky. As we was running down, I kept turning back looking. As we turned forward, the same man that was sitting on this roundabout came out from a tree and stood in front of us. And obviously we skidded and diverted and ran off. Now, there could be the explanation of maybe this guy had a twin brother dressed in exactly the same clothing. It would be just as weird because, I say they're already having a picnic there. But it was pretty scary. And when I turned back to look, they'd gone. He'd gone from the tree, the same bloke and his family had gone from the roundabout. I couldn't see if there was still the picnic stuff there, but I couldn't see any figures. They just disappeared. Me and Kev still talk about that. The amount of times we tell the story, people don't believe us, but hand on heart, that is a true story. And I hope it fits in with your spooky Halloween Disney special. Take care, both, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Coming soon, MW Orbit, the new interactive story and music project by me, Rick Moyer. Join MW as he journeys through the Milky Way galaxy, searching for life. Visit mw-orbit.com today.
A bit of news for the military people out there. A new military discount offer began at Disneyland on October 23rd, 2010, offering active duty or veteran U.S. military personnel the chance to buy a Disney military promotional 3-day park hopper ticket for only $99. And Disneyland is also offering them a 40% discount on rooms at all three of the Disneyland Resort hotels. Call Disney Travel at 714-520-5045 for complete details and eligibility.
Disney Dance Crew opened at DCA last week, showcasing the new Talking Mickey. Mickey doesn't just talk, he dances hip-hop too. Disney Dance Crew is a high-energy show that's supposed to be like the TV shows So You Think You Can Dance and America's Best Dance Crew. You'll get to see Mickey and his crew as they show off their best dance moves to some very energetic music. Dance Crew replaced Drawn to Magic in the Hollywood backlot. Check park schedule for showtimes. And for those of you that attended the D23 Destination D, we got to see a preview of it on Saturday, I think it was.
That was pretty cool.
It was.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I mean, I'm not much for hip-hop or dancing, but yeah.
Mickey. It's Mickey.
Mickey can bust a move.
Yeah, so I recommend it just from the little preview we saw.
Disneyland is a wondrous world of magic, adventure, and fun. Every day, thousands of visitors pass through the gates, leaving their everyday world of worry and stress behind, transforming them once again into playful kids. But did you know that there are many, many hidden secrets living at the Disneyland Resort? Some are easy to discover, while others are hidden or easily overlooked. In this segment, we'd like to discuss what Joyce and I have come to call the hidden treasures of Disneyland.
For this show's Hidden Treasures, Joyce and I are going to discuss the wonderful Halloween decorations at the Disneyland Resort.
I think my favorite is either the big pumpkins that I feel are like overlooking the...
Are you like talking about the 16-foot pumpkin?
Yeah, they're like watching over the...
Well, there's only one of them.
No, it's got... No, that's not what I'm talking about then. I'm talking about Donald and Mickey.
Oh, at
and...
the entrance.
Yes, when yes. they all like watch over you as you're walking in and they invite you into Disneyland.
Very cool. Yes, yeah very nice. Yeah, I don't think I have a favorite. I think... Every single Halloween decoration at the Disneyland Resort is just fantastic. I love it. I mean, it's really cool. They paid a lot of attention to the detail here. You look everywhere and there's Halloween. It just screams Halloween. It's just wonderful.
I know. I guess now that I think about it, I probably don't have a favorite because I was just thinking, well, maybe my favorite is the hub because you see all that yellow and
that
orange.
That is cool. It's visual. It's a visual feast.
Yeah. And then the little planters that are shaped like Mickey.
Mm-hmm. That's a true hidden treasure because you don't really notice it at first. You just see these hanging baskets with topiaries in them. And then if you look at them at just the right angle, all of a sudden you see these little Mickeys everywhere.
Yeah. And then the Buzz Lightyear and the Tinkerbell. Mm-hmm. Carved pumpkins around the partner statue. Right. And then as you were starting to mention the 16-foot pumpkin, which is a great photo op.
Oh, it is. I mean, it is the photo op. In fact, if you visit the findingmickey.com, I believe it is, website, they've got a big picture of that on their front page. It's pretty cool. And I guess the main reason that I love all these Halloween decorations and why I love it at this time of the year there is because it always reminds me of my very first visit to the Disneyland Resort back in September of 2007. I mean, it was the first thing I saw was that 16-foot Mickey standing in the at Main Street. And I will always get that feeling. And then also the smells. I mean, it's just got the, you know, the sweet candy smells, the gingerbread smells from the Haunted Mansion. It's just a wonderful time of year. And if you've never been to the Disneyland Resort and you're thinking of going, you're going to want to make sure that you go during this time of year because it's just the greatest. They take Halloween and they make it Disney.
And bring back Candy Corn Acres for me, please.
So if anyone from Disney is listening, Joyce has a special request. Candy Corn Acres.
Please.
So I bet you're all wondering where these cute little pumpkins that everybody carves comes from. You know, the ones with the neat little Mickey Mouse patterns on them, or, you know, maybe the image of Barack Obama or something like that. Something really cute. Well, jack-o'-lanterns actually owe their history to an old Irish folktale that tells us about Stingy Jack. Now, Stingy Jack was a lazy but shrewd farmer who uses a cross to trap the devil. One of these myths actually says that Jack was getting chased by some villagers from Okay. Now, one version of this myth says that Jack was getting chased by some villagers from who he had stolen some stuff when he comes across the devil, who claimed it was time for Jack to die. However, the thief stalled his death by tempting the devil with a chance to bedevil the church-going villagers chasing him. Jack told the devil to turn himself into a coin with which he would pay for the stolen goods. Now, you know, the devil could take any shape that he wanted. Later, when the coin, or the devil, disappeared, the Christian villagers would fight over who had stolen it. The devil agreed to this plan. He turned himself into a silver coin and jumped into Jack's wallet, only to find himself sitting right next to a cross that Jack had also picked up in the village. Jack had closed the wallet really tight, and the cross stripped the devil of his powers, and so he was trapped. Now Jack only lets the devil go when he agrees to never take his soul. After a while, the thief died, as, you know, all living things do. And of course, his life had been too sinful for Jack to go to heaven. You know, he's standing up there at the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, sorry, pal, you were too bad to come up here. Now, the devil... Oh, wait, okay. So, Jack goes down to, well, you know where, but the devil says, sorry, dude, I promised I was never going to take your soul. And so he was barred from hell and heaven both. Jack had nowhere to go. So he asked how he would see where he was supposed to go from here and there, because he had no light. And the devil mockingly flicked an ember that would never burn out from the flames of hell. Jack carved out one of his turnips. You know, he was a farmer, like I said. Put the ember inside and began endlessly wandering the earth for a resting place. He became known as Jack of the Lantern, or the Jack-o'-lantern. Now, when this myth legend came over to the United States, you know, turnips weren't, well, they weren't a very pretty fruit. Now, when this legend came over to the United States, the turnip wasn't, well, it's not a very attractive item, if you know what I mean. So they turned to the next abundant vegetable, and that was the pumpkin. So they started carving out the pumpkins and putting a, you know, a little candle or burning ember inside to honor Jack of the Lantern.
Now's the time for some ride reviews.
For this special Halloween episode, I'm going to be reviewing Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy. Space Mountain with the Ghost Galaxy overlay is the same ride, but there are different sounds and effects. The fire ghost greets you at the entrance to the queue and replaces the starfield. I know you don't think it's a fire ghost.
It's not a
but
fire
it
ghost.
Is a fire ghost.
It's a ghost galaxy. That's why it's
called
Ghost
Galaxy. It's a fire
galaxy.
Ghost. Anyways.
All right, Tim, Frank, you guys love this ride. Write into us and tell us it's not a fire ghost.
I think it's a fire ghost.
It's a ghost galaxy.
Okay, so anyways, I'm calling it a fire ghost because this is my attraction review.
Okay, fine.
So, the fire ghost will reappear and follow you ghost throughout galaxy. The ride. Careful, he might escape and follow you after the ride ends. Oh no! Look at the roof! One escaped and is coming to get you. It was a fun ride, but there were glitches the day we rode it and did not get the full effect. But this is still one of my favorite rides, and I give it 5 out of 5 Mickeys. It was thrilling and chilly, and it was a fire ghost.
It wasn't a fire ghost. It was a ghost galaxy, and yeah, like she said, it's still Space Mountain, and it still made me nauseous. Throughout most of the year, as I've mentioned many, many times before on this show, the Haunted Mansion is in my top 3 favorite attractions at the Disneyland Resort. But during that special time of year, starting right about the middle of September, the Haunted Mansion is transformed into a site fit for Halloween and Christmas lovers alike. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. One could say the Haunted Mansion holiday is what happens when two holidays collide. The Haunted Mansion holiday is basically a seasonal overlay that Disneyland treats guests to every year, beginning, like I said, about mid-September, and it goes all the way through January. Blending the Haunted Mansion theme with Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. This special edition of the Haunted Mansion opened on October 3rd, 2001, and it was immediately embraced by guests. As with the Tim Burton movie, this special Haunted Mansion attraction shows Jack Skellington taking over Christmas. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, why not? Go out, pick it up, rent it, get it from Netflix, whatever you have to do. It's actually a pretty funny movie. And it makes the attraction a lot of fun, too. The entire attraction is made over for The Nightmare Before Christmas, outside and inside. On the outside, there's pumpkins everywhere, as well as Christmas decorations, which, you know, makes it kind of interesting. On the roof is Jack's coffin sleigh, and stretched from the top of the roof down to the ground is Jack's gift list. Even though you're usually rushed as you're streaming into the house, try to take notice of the decorations throughout the queue area. They're really quite neat. As you make your way through the first part of the queue, you're then ushered into the foyer area, where this is where all the fun begins, actually. Now, any other time of the year, you hear the usual pre-attraction music, you know, the prelude to the Grim Grinning Ghosts music. But now, well, now it's all decked out with wreaths and skulls and all kinds of spooky stuff. And then you hear, "'Twas a long time ago, longer now than it seems, in a place that perhaps that you've seen in your dreams. For the story that you're about to be told began with the holiday worlds of old. I know you're curious to see what's inside. It's what happens when two holidays collide." Then the big door opens and you move into the familiar stretching portrait room where, just like always, you'll hear your host, your ghost host.
"Welcome, my friends, to our Christmas delight. Come witness a ghoulishly glorious sight. It's time for our holiday tale to begin. There's no turning back now. Please, come all the way in. Our holiday tale is a tale that's quite charming, but during this season, it's sometimes alarming. So relax and reflect. Feel free to take pause while we tell you a tale about dear Sandy Claus." "'Twas the nightmare before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was peaceful, not even a mouse. The stockings all hung by the chimney with care, when opened that morning would cause such a scare. The children, nestled all snug in their beds, would have nightmares of monsters and skeleton heads."
"Happy holidays, everyone!"
Basically, the attraction is the same, but instead of the general haunted mansion, everything has been themed for Christmas. The stretching portraits are scenes from A Nightmare Before Christmas. The changing portraits in the next room are like that too. And Madame Leota now chants the 13 days of Christmas instead of her usual fun stuff. Then on to the ballroom. As always, for some reason, this is my favorite scene. In here, the ghosts are basically the same, but the decorations have changed. Every year, and this is a cool little tidbit, every year they build a different gingerbread house and they place it on the dining table. And by the way, it is a real gingerbread house. They have what I was talking about earlier, that awesome smell of gingerbread in this scene, and it drives me absolutely crazy. In fact, I have a fun story here. I told you that I'm a big, huge fan of these scented oils, you know, the oil burners. Well, we go to Bath & Body Works, and I went crazy trying to match the exact smell of that gingerbread house, and I think I found it. It's a combination of, what did I say, warm vanilla and cupcake, believe it or not. Match the two oils together, burn them, and it smells just like that, and it always takes me back to that particular scene. The attic now is just a clutter of creepy toys and presents. As you exit the attic and head down towards the graveyard, you'll see a life-sized Jack Skellington and Zero where the trembling caretaker usually is. And Jack is telling Zero, "I knew everyone would love my Christmas." And as you make your way through the graveyard, the Grim Grinning Ghost songs have been remade a bit, and they're now combined with Jingle Bells, We Wish You a Merry Christmas, and Jolly Old Saint Nick, in a haunting way, of course. And on your way out, you'll encounter Oogie Boogie standing next to a giant roulette machine. And instead of the hitchhiking ghost in your doom buggy, there's Lock, Shock, and Barrel joining you as you leave. Now, for you hidden Mickey buffs out there, there's actually quite a few hidden Mickeys in here. The vampire Teddy in one of the stretching room portraits is actually made up to be the classic Mickey. His head and his two small ears make that hidden Mickey there. And one of the pre-stretched portraits also has a Christmas tree where two of the tiny ornaments line up with a larger ornament, forming the classic Mickey. And in the ballroom scene, where the plates usually, you know, the ballroom scene, there's usually the hidden Mickey plates. Mm-hmm. Well, near the crashed hearse, there's a few piles of snow. And in one of these piles is a shape of the classic Mickey head. Pretty cool, huh?
I noticed that.
Yeah, I pointed it out to you last time. Now, the sights, the sounds, and the smells of this attraction are really what make it fun for me. And like everything else at this time of the year at the Disneyland Resort, it reminds me of my very, very first trip to Disneyland. And it's always going to have that special feeling for me. I just love it. And on a scale of 1 to 5, whee-ees, I give Haunted Mansion a 5.5.
Wow.
I had to alter the scale a little bit. Now's the time for the final trivia question.
This is hard, and it's a two-parter.
Oh, very, very hard. Matter of fact, you'll never get it. In front of the Haunted Mansion, there's a horse-drawn hearse parked by the front doors. This hearse was actually rumored to have carried Mormon pioneer Brigham Young to his gravesite, but this is just another one of those Haunted Mansion rumors. However, the hearse was a prop in a very famous 1965 Western movie. What was the name of that movie? Part two of this trivia question is, there's a prop from a famous Disney movie in the grand ballroom scene in the Haunted Mansion. What prop is this, and from what movie did it come? Now we need you to get both of these answers correct in order to win.
Send your entries to talespodcast@cox.net. Remember to put
which question you're answering in the subject line.
In this segment, Al and I will review places to satisfy your hunger and put to rest those grumbellies so you can get back to the magic.
I will be reviewing the Royal Street Veranda in New Orleans Square. So during our last visit, we visited the Royal Street Veranda to rehydrate after a fun-filled day of Splash Mountain.
Yeah, 113 plus degrees.
Yes, felt like we were in Arizona, but with humidity.
And more fun.
Yes, lots more fun. So we decided to, while we were rehydrating, to try the trio of New Orleans fritters with the fruit dipping sauce. They were very yummy, and the portion size was perfect for a midday snack. The lines were always fairly long, as it's a popular eatery and is more of like a fast food restaurant because they don't offer table service. The Royal Street Veranda also serves gumbo and chowder, as well as specialty coffees. And while we were there, even though it was 113 degrees, Al got the pumpkin spice latte. And he said it was very comparable to Starbucks. So I give it 4 ghostly Mickeys on a scale of 1 to 5.
Ghostly Mickeys.
Ooh. Trying to stay in the spirit of Halloween.
Oh, I see. And you know what? It's never too hot for coffee.
I know.
The French Market restaurant is located in New Orleans Square. It's a cafeteria style where you order your food from a line type and then you go pay for it and then go sit down. They do have cafeteria style seating, which is pretty good. The food is, well, it's good, but not great. They serve roasted chicken, roast beef, jambalaya, Creole salmon, and chowder. And they also have a line of kids menu stuff, which I assume is pretty good. When we went on our very, very first visit in 2007, on our very first day. I got the plantation citrus chicken, which came with smashed potatoes, veggies, and cornbread. And Joyce got the chicken strips. Joyce didn't really like her dinner. But I think it was because she was pretty dehydrated and tired.
And excited because I hadn't been there for many, many, many years.
Right. So she didn't have such a great experience there. But I liked it. I mean, it was good. It wasn't excellent. The price was about average. For the two of us, I think it was about $30. On a scale of 1 to 4 hidden Mickeys. Okay, I'm sorry. On a scale of 1 to 4 ghostly hidden Mickeys, I give it a 2. But it's not because it's terrible. It just, we didn't have a great experience when we went there. I mean, nothing other than the fact that we were both tired and the food wasn't great. I'd go back, but only if, like, you know, Cafe Orleans was way too busy.
Yeah, and we're basing this on an experience we had 3 years ago.
Right. So, I mean, it's good food. Like I said, it's good food, not great food.
Tips and tricks designed for the Halloween visitor.
During this spooky time of year, be aware of the time when you're visiting the Disneyland Resort. After sunset, all the ghouls and ghosts start visiting, and things, well, they just get really messy.
For those vampires out there that love going to the happiest place on Earth, don't visit the park and expect to feast on other guests' blood.
Ooh.
This is highly frowned upon and most likely will result in you... being asked to leave. Instead, when you find that you really just need a quick bite, check with guest services over at City Hall. Disneyland has specially assigned cast members who can help you out. Just remember to leave some blood for the other vampires, though.
Frankenstein's monsters, beware. In Frontierland, this time of year, a lot of torches have been lit.
Fire bad, Mickey good.
No grumpy monsters. Because Disneyland Resort is the happiest place on Earth, if you're one of those rare grumpy monsters, you may just want to avoid the park. Those people are very happy, and most likely, you may just turn happy as well. And then you'll have to change jobs because you know you're not a grumpy monster anymore.
And you'll have to give your union card back because, well, you're not grumpy.
When the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake,
spooks and popcorns wane and wake,
happy haunts materialize,
and begin to vocalize, grim grinning ghosts about to socialize.
Now don't close your eyes and don't try to hide,
or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a darkish hide.
They pretend to terrorize.
Thanks for joining us on this very, very special show, Halloween and our 10th Podiversary.
Hope you had a ghoulish time.
Ghoulish time, that was good. In our upcoming shows, we have some great things in store for you. We have some interviews with some really cool people planned, and we're going to try to get some of our Twitter followers on our show.
We'll also share some video podcasts covering rides, tours, decorations, our recent walking tour, and just stuff like that.
And we're also still planning that Music of the Disneyland Resort podcast episode that we were talking about. That's going to be kind of fun. We're going to put together an episode of our favorite songs from the Music of the Disneyland Resort CD. We'll give you a little bit of background information on the song, maybe what year it was written and released, what a ride or attraction it was from, and stuff like that.
And since these shows are for you, we're open to your suggestions. Maybe we'll even do like a listener design show. Yeah. So if there's anything that you know you want us to cover, if you need a Disney fix, and Twitter just doesn't do it for you.
Yeah, just write in and let us know what you want to hear in the show. Maybe we can even do like a Tales from the Mouse House roundtable. And maybe we'll just, you know, we'll open up a Skype chat room and we'll just all talk about different topics relating to the Disneyland Resort. That'd be a great episode. What do you guys think? And we're also planning a lot of super fun contests coming up. We've got a lot of great things to give away as prizes, so you're going to want to tune in for those. And as always, if you have suggestions, ideas, comments, or you just want to say hi, drop us a line at talespodcast@cox.net. Or, Joyce, where can they visit us in the social networking realm?
Twitter and Facebook
at Tales Podcast. You can also visit us on our Podbean site at talesfromthemousehouse.podbean.com.
And you can leave feedback for us on iTunes.
Like we mentioned earlier in the show, we're going back to the Disneyland Resort. I know that's a big surprise to you, but we're going back on December 10th for a three-day weekend. And in that visit, we're going to have an extremely special food review for you. So make sure you keep following us on Twitface and Facebook and whatever else we do. I don't know. And remember, for the contests in this show, send your answers to talespodcast@cox.net. In the subject line, enter which contest that you're entering. The easy one, the intermediate one, or the hardcore one. And in the body of the email, put your best answer. And then if you're entering the intermediate or the hard, make sure that you choose which photo that you want. If you're doing the hardcore, make sure that you choose which photo that you want printed and which photo that you want in digital format. If you want them both the same, that's absolutely fine. And, you know, even though we took these pictures, I think they're great. They could make postcards. We could sell them if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, the whole Disney thing is copyrighted.
Don't forget to leave your contact information so we can send all the goodies to you.
Oh yeah, lots of goodies. So if you win the grand prize, which is the hardcore, you're gonna get a box, big box, huge box. So you're gonna have to stay home that whole day so that you can sign for it. And also, if you win the grand prize, which is what we're calling the hardcore, you're going to win that very special Stargazer CD from our buddy Rick Moyer. Like I said earlier, this is a tremendous CD. The music is absolutely fantastic. And it's going to be a good thing to have, because someday Rick Moyer is going to be famous. And you can say, hey, I know the guy who knows the guy who knows Rick Moyer's guys. People. For... Okay, never mind.
Hope your Halloween is filled with lots of treats and no tricks.
And speaking of Halloween, head over to thedangersigns.com and check out the Tick or Teat video. This is hilarious, and it's starring our friend Meds, who did the poem at the beginning of our show. This podcast is copyright 2010 by Blue Ocean Productions. All rights reserved.
Thanks for listening.
And remember,
if you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory.
Hurry back. Hurry back.
Rest in peace.
Be sure to bring your death certificate.
So hurry back. We would like your
if you decide to join us. Make final arrangements now. We've been dying to have you.